Sega's Bad Boys Podcast presents Matt Michaels, People I Don't Hate.
Joe Galley, the voice of the National Wrestling Alliance, and you're listening to the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.
Hey everybody, it's Matt Michaels here, along with Sin City Steve, and today we welcome, you'll see right now, it says Lauren DeMarco, but she is better known, I would dare to say, as Gemma Giuliana from the LFC. She is an awesome person, great personality, and she's got a little Sunday afternoon beverage going on, yeah? What's the beverage of choice today?
Yes, I got some Joseph Carr Cabernet, and in my nice little fall, as you can see, pumpkin wine glass, so I am ready to do this.
Hey, speaking of fall and pumpkins, let me ask you right off the bat, because you mentioned pumpkins, are you a pumpkin spice person?
Yeah, I'm a basic bitch. Deal with it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I do like pumpkin spice. I very much so do.
That is literally the second time that I've done an interview now within the last 3 days that the answer was, yeah, I'm a basic bitch.
I mean, you know, if we're going to hear it, we're going to just put it out there. Yeah. Like, what's up? You know?
So,
I'm a basic bitch.
So, let me ask you then, and, you know, you got a choice. You're on a desert island. Is it the wine or is it pumpkin spice?
So is it just like plain out pumpkin spice? Like no, like made up ingredients like coffee or like, I don't know, cake or cupcakes, or is it just like
full on full? What's your favorite thing that has pumpkin spice in it?
Probably coffee. So it's all beverage, and I guess I would starve and I would be very hydrated. But if I drink wine, I think it would take away less of the reality that I'm stuck on a desert island. So, but I'd be very dehydrated. So I don't know, man. It's really tough.
Well, yeah, exactly.
What would you pick?
It's
not really good choices.
Well, you'd be happy with, you know, at least with the wine, you'd be happy. I mean, knowing that it's you're dehydrating, there's no food, and probably no one coming to get
you.
You
die faster, because dehydration plus no food equals, like, faster death, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, what? What do I really choose?
And coffee, the thing with coffee, too, is coffee really, I think coffee dehydrates you quicker. So I guess I'd have to go with the wine, right?
Yeah, I guess wine. But then, like, where do I have a wine glass? Or, like, where's the wine coming from? If it's a desert island, I mean, is it, like, just a bottles of wine? Like, you gotta crack it open and, like, you can't drink it? I mean, how do you do it?
You were on a boat that crashed that just had tons of wine barrels. Yeah. And basically, and then at least you could go, like, in, like style, because you could find like a shell and drink it out of like a, you know, one of those big, like, you know, shells. You just fill it up and just drink it out. And
that's true. You have to figure out a cork it, but yeah, I guess, drink out of the shell is pretty fancy. So yeah, you know, I'll go with the wine. Why not? Cause you know, if the seasons change, wine will always be in, you know, style for me. So pumpkin spice, I can only do it literally like during the pumpkin spice season. Like I don't know how people eat pumpkin when it's hot. That to me just does not mix well. And you know, I stay away from that in the summer, spring, you know, all that. So yeah, wine.
Where are you right now? Where are you located? Are you in the East Coast or Midwest?
I'm in the East Coast. I'm from Jersey.
Awesome.
Hence the name Jersey Babe. It's not a gimmick, it's real life.
So that's Jersey. That's where I was wondering, because I really didn't think about it until you just said it, and that is, having lived in California and, you know, Vegas now for almost 25 years combined, and growing up in Chicago, it used to be the
I'm having a service issue. I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
I don't know, man.
Sorry.
Technical difficulties once again, because, you know, I'm so tech savvy. Jersey, and I didn't hear the rest because I was like,
no, where am yeah. I? Okay, so, you know, the last 25 years I've been out, you know, in Vegas and LA, and I grew up in Chicago, and you're absolutely right. I didn't think about it, but because we don't really have the seasons out here, I tend not to lean towards getting the pumpkin spice, but when I was in Chicago or if I was visiting during the winter or something like that, holy shit, it was the only thing I could live on because for whatever reason, that stuff is so damn good when it's cold outside.
It is. It warms your soul. I feel amazing. Because when the seasons change and, like, you know, you're like, oh, it's hot all summer, you know, then it just starts getting cold out of nowhere. Because actually, like, fall hit fast for us. And last year, it hit, like, mid-October, and, like, leaves weren't changing. But here, you know, leaves are changing already. It's already fall. But, you know, like, pumpkin spice just seemed, like, right, you know, on time for us. And it just makes you feel, like, I don't know, warm and fuzzy inside. And it just tastes amazing with, like, all these combinations, like cupcakes and coffee. There's a ton of other food I can't think of at the moment. But, yeah. Pumpkin is amazing, especially when the weather changes, like here.
Are you a Halloween person or a Christmas person?
I love, so all these seasons I love, but I am a huge Christmas person. Christmas has always been special to me. And I don't know. I just love the Christmas spirit. Although I do love Halloween, and I do love the fact that you can, like, you know, be someone that you're not for a day, or just, you know, find different things to do, like go to haunted houses or like pumpkin picking. I mean, I love it all. It's all nostalgic to me, but I'm more Christmas, but I do love the spooky stuff. So
how much in Jersey, how much, like, are there a lot of like, pumpkin patches, you know, is, cause I'm not, you know, when I think of Jersey, I think of Jersey Shore and I think of like Gritty City, but there's a lot of like foliage and like a lot to drive around and see, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, see, that's the thing. People, when they think, if they don't know Jersey, you've never been here, they think of just like the shore, you know, the shore is literally just like the coast. Okay.
Right.
Inner Jersey. So I'm from North Jersey, right outside of New York City. So literally, like, I could take a train and then, like, within half hour, I'm in Times Square.
Yeah.
Like, just like that. But right now, I live in South Jersey, and we have the Pine Barrens, which is forest and thick woods, and wow, we have pine trees down here. Cool. There's farms everywhere. I worked in Central Jersey, and I mean, literally, like, behind my office and down the street. I mean, actually, down the street from me right now, there's a farm with cows right next to a Wawa, which is a convenience store, if people don't know that. Jersey is really weird. There's a lot of green. There's a lot of farms. There's a lot of pumpkin patches. I mean, there was a huge pumpkin patch down by my old office, and there's just so much. And then North Jersey is just very city. It has that city vibe. So, like, that's where I'm from. But down here, and then you have the shore, I mean, all along South Shore, you have Atlantic City, North Jersey Shore, Seaside Heights, where Jersey Shore filmed, which, correct, I've seen them on the first season. Like, literally, like, I was there. Like, my shore house was down the street from them. So I kind of grew up with them, in a sense. So I kind of know them, but they don't know me. Yeah, it's really, really weird living here. But it's awesome. I mean, people just have the wrong idea. But there's just so much to do here. I mean, like I said, like, I live outside of Philly. So 15 minutes, boom, I'm in Philly.
Yeah.
So much. So much around me.
Steve. That's awesome.
Yeah, Steve.
Yeah, and what's up, man?
I was going to say, I know that you kind of have something on tap here, so go ahead and shoot it out, brother.
So what I was going to mention to you, Gemma, is a lot of people are going to know you from the LFC and what you've done with them. We've interviewed our fair share of LFC competitors. How was your experience, or how has your experience been working for them?
I liked it. The show went so much faster than I thought. Like, it literally was like showtime, and I'm like, oh, I'm out. Okay. but I'm kind of used to it from wrestling. So like it was, I don't know. It was just really crazy and hectic at that moment. But then once it was over, it's like, wow, like that was fast. Like, it just went so fast for me. But I really did enjoy my time with them, and I definitely anticipate on returning, hopefully next year when, you know, this whole worldwide craziness dies down.
But I
did really enjoy it. And actually, I'm kind of disappointed I didn't get the full experience of Vegas. So next time I come down, I would love to, like, do more. I didn't get that Vegas experience that, like, everyone does. I mean, I just didn't do anything. I just stayed in my hotel. Like, I didn't shit. And people are crazy out there. Like, it's so not Jersey. Like, people leave you alone out here, but out there, everyone comes up to you and, like, hits on you and thinks, like, you're out there to, like, bang and stuff. And, like, I'm like, whoa, like, I'm not here to do that. I'm just here for, like, work, kind of. So it was a lot. I was like, whoa. Yeah. Calm down, people.
I could only imagine.
Really quick, Steve, I love the words, I'm only out here for work, kind of.
Kind of.
Yeah. If you want to say, you know, I'm professional, you know. This is lingerie in Vegas, no big deal.
Now, obviously, you know, you had mentioned that you were used to things from wrestling, and you actually very recently were a part of a Titan Championship Wrestling show back in June, which was a drive-in event. So this kind of ties in with the pandemic and things like that. How was that atmosphere compared to a regular show with fans inside of the building?
Well, it's weird because instead of people like cheering and clapping, it's kind of like honking. So I was kind of doing like a thing for like people to honk at me instead of like, you know, come on, like, clap or whatever you do, or boo, yeah. Whatever you want to do, whatever floats your boat. It was cool. You know, I got to talk to some people by their car, so that was different. It is what it is. I mean, I've wrestled in front of like a crowd that had like five people, and there was no noise. And you know, at least there was noise, and there was people, so it was fun. You know, I don't know. Wrestling's weird. Like, there's a lot of weird shit can happen, so you know, you always expect the weirdest shit to happen, honestly, but it was cool, you know, all these people were there.
What is the weirdest thing that you've ever encountered in wrestling?
Let me think, because when I'm on the spot, I have to like really like think for a minute, because I'm like, shit. I did a show where there was like five people, and there was one guy who actually fell asleep.
Oh my god!
So that was weird, and it was like in North Jersey. Really weird. It was just weird. And my match was kind of shit. So I'm like, thank God no one was here. I was actually new too, so I was like, ooh, this is like, at least you know, there's like five people who can like see that and be like, wow, that was terrible, instead of like 50. So
right,
whatever.
Yeah, sure. But like you said, you were new, and that actually. Yeah. But that actually is a very kind of a great environment to break into, because like you said, no one's going to judge you. Five people, and one of them was sleeping, so four people. So I think that's
four and a half, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like
he was half asleep. I don't know.
Yeah, dazed in and out. Like, oh yeah. But you know, it's a growing environment. And that's one of the things as a performer, anytime that you step in front of a crowd, you're going to grow. Is there a moment that you started, when did you start really feeling comfortable in your ability to perform? And I'll give you a two-sided on it. One, just in general performing. And two, when did you start feeling comfortable as a wrestler performing?
Okay, that's a very good question, actually. So, you know, everything takes time and experience to get comfortable, as we all know. I would say maybe like 2 years in, when I actually had an opportunity to hold the title and kind of, you know, have storylines and kind of like, you know, just being there each month and actually doing something for a purpose and trying to actually have a goal to make things better. And then you're working with people and you're trying to put on those, like those championship worthy matches that like I've always wanted. That's when I started feeling more comfortable, when I actually had like like there was literally like no time limit, like go out and do whatever. I got to really get creative, and you know, there were storylines to the what I was doing, so there's meaning behind it, so it kind of helped it. I got to, you know, have more mic time and stuff, so that really helped me. And I don't know, it just I feel like maybe 2 or 3 years in, maybe two, because I held the title for like over a year. Okay. And I did the drives like all by myself, and you know, I actually took the time to actually try to build a division, which is like one of my goals that I wanted from the beginning, because yeah. Women's wrestling started getting hot like when I was like maybe a year or two in. So I really wanted to take that step and really like make that promotion. Like I wanted like put my mark in it. And I think I did a pretty decent job. There were some things I wish were better, but yeah, I was actually really proud to hold a title and for a company to actually believe in me and have me come in each month and let me just do what I had to do and let my creative juices flow. So, sure. I feel like just having more time and just doing what I had to do gave me that, like that comfort and just like that experience. Cause like in the beginning, when you mess up, you know, you learn from that. Like I learned from that. I don't yeah. know about anyone else, but whenever I mess up or I look back, I study my stuff repeatedly. And I'm like, damn, I should have done that. Or damn, like I should have done that. Or this is what I should have done instead of like what I did there, you know? So just having like the feed, like the video and everything, just like going through things and messing up and correcting it, that gave me more of like the experience that I needed to feel more comfort in my ability to perform. So, yeah.
Who was the trainer that you feel influenced you the most and helped you, you know, kind of find your stride and gave you the confidence that you could actually do it?
I've had a few trainers on and off. So, like I started at WrestlePro back when it was, PWS or Pro okay. Wrestling Syndicate.
Right.
With Pat Buck, Mario Bacara, Dan Moff. I started with those guys. And then I moved south. So I wanted to find something closer and something that, you know, I can just like call home. Yeah. I've been going to H2O Academy and that's in South Jersey. Preacher, he's very positive, and the way he teaches, like I just love the way he runs class, and I learned so much from him, and I learned so much from WrestlePro or PWS back then that it's weird because when you go to some places and then you know you don't do as much or they don't teach you as much or there's like no directions, like damn, like I appreciate the way they ran the way they did, even when they had like 30 people as to where this other place had like 10, you know,
right.
There's different structures to things. I've also had a little training with, Jimmy Rave at CZW for a little while. So he was, pretty cool running class. So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of people that I've, you know, had training under, but, I do say that the H2O Academy, they're very supportive and, They really push your students, and they like I've done things that like I never thought I can do, and sure. they just said no, you're gonna try, you can do it, I know you can do it. So that little push just really makes you just, you know, it's just so super influential in me. So I don't know.
No,
I would say them.
That makes a lot of sense, and you brought up a really good point that pushing you to be like, you know, and I don't want to. I want to use push as a negative term. I think it's a positive thing because you're getting encouraged to do something. How was there something like the first time you were asked to climb the ropes, or, you know, was there something that sticks out in your mind as you were just like, whew, okay, this is all right. And then, you know, they got you kind of through it.
I mean, even like the simplest things like spike bumps. I was scared to do it because like when I was a kid, I hurt my neck diving in the ocean. I kind of like stunned myself. Ooh. Like I kind of landed on my head and it was scary. So for things like that, like, you know, it's like that like neck, like, you know, your head hitting the mat type thing. Yep. I get scared. I kind of get pushed back a little bit just because of like that past trauma.
Sure.
So I mean, stuff like that helped me he helped me like push myself to actually do it. And like, no, I know you can do it. You can do a flip bump. You can do this. And like, just little things like that. I mean, just the simplest little thing that everyone does that like makes you feel comfortable, and you try it, and they let you try and try, and then, you know, boom, you can do it. It's like, wow, I didn't know I could actually do something like that. Or even just like basing for someone, like basing for someone who like wants to do a Rana off the top rope or something. I don't base. I mean, I'm small. I don't really base for people at all, but you know, they actually make me want to like try to be that base to push yourself. And it's like, wow, I can actually do it. So if someone needs to do it, boom, I can do it now. Just little things like that like really make me like more confident in my wrestling ability, and like things that I can do for other people too. So I think that's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And so obviously one thing that kind of ended up bringing everybody together was the unfortunate thing of the COVID pandemic, of course. Yeah. It finally looks like as if we're starting to see, you know, the end of it. And things getting back to some sort of semblance of order. I mean, how do you think that the business itself will change for both performers, but also for fans in a post-COVID world?
Hopefully a lot less touching each other. Like, that's not wrestling related. For fans to not like grab you or touch you when you're not expecting it. Cause you know, that's kind of like, like, I get pictures and stuff, but like, you know, there's no need to like grab my waist. Like, why do you need to do that? Like, stop. No. like, I'm not even trying to be rude, but like, it takes you off like by surprise. Like, whoa, like, what are you doing? I'm like, have to like move him over. Like, all right. Like, all right. Have your arm around me. Nope. Not anymore. Like, it's COVID. So, probably less handshakes. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't wrestled since. So I did the Titan show, and that was during the pandemic. Like, when was that? Like in July or June? I decided to sit the rest of the year out because I'm like, let's see how everything unfolds. I'm not going to be a guinea pig and then get sick. And I have people in the house here who can get sick, and I don't want to put them through that. And I don't want to get sick because I don't know what this virus does to you long term. I care about my health, and I don't want to be one of those, you know, I don't want to be another number to this whole system that's going on. So we'll see how everything rides out, but I do plan on coming back in 2021. So let's hope everything gets better because, I don't know. It's a crazy time.
Yeah.
Do you think, you know, like you said, I think that you hit what I feel as well, and that is not necessarily afraid of you know, having it, but more so what could be the long-term effects. LFC did their Sturgis show, and to my knowledge everyone seems to have been fine, but you know, of course we don't know about anyone who was watching. Is that something that we might start seeing if you figure, you know, the idea is keep the performer safe if you're a promotion or a promoter, but the fans are, you know, taking a risk. Are you taking the risk then? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, even though they're trying to keep you guys safe as the performers, if you're going to be in a live environment with a crowd who might, you know, someone might have it and they don't know if they're asymptomatic, I guess that you're essentially taking the risk too. Could this be something that, you know, we might be overthinking, or could it be something that we might just be possibly like just being precautious enough to, you know, make sure our health is first and foremost over, you know, a payday or something we like to do, because living is probably something we want to do too.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, living is definitely a priority because if you can't live, you're not healthy. What can you really do?
Yeah.
You know? But like, so there's a lot of selfish people in the world. Okay. Some people who may not be feeling good or sick could attend that show.
Right.
Like, I don't know if they take the temp. I don't know what they do. I don't know.
Well, but I think
if they don't
take
temperatures or yeah. if they don't. All right, suppose they're sick and they don't have a fever.
Right.
But they're still sick. I mean, what is that really? How does that prevent anything? Or the fan still going in and they're sick? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. See, I'm not a scientist or I'm not a doctor, so I don't like to give a little, diagnosis of anything
right.
that can be or whatever. But I don't know. It's weird. I mean, I did travel to Tennessee for customs, and that was what was that, like May or April? And it was weird because Tennessee was completely open, but I took the precaution. I wore a mask when I went in stores. I guess they didn't have the mask rule.
Right.
And I was using hand sanitizer. I was being safe. Luckily, you know, most of the airports were empty.
Right.
I mean, the airport was completely, like, when I walked in, there was literally no line to walk in. It was marvelous. Like, it was awesome. I was like, wow. Like, that, I could not believe it. Well, I guess I could because, you know, no one's traveling. But it was cool. And we actually got to eat inside a restaurant. And we had, like, our own, like, little back room. So life was, like, kind of normal out there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I didn't get sick. But I did take the precaution to be safe for my own health and, you know, everyone around me. And plus, like, everyone around me was not really trying to be safe. So I kind of, like, I just protected myself because
right.
you never know. And traveling, it was a new thing at that time, you know. It was, like, only, like, 2 or 3 months in.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know, man. If you need to go out there and perform and make, if you need the paycheck, I mean, you're taking risks, but I mean,
yeah.
Dude, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's why I want to see how everything rolls out. That's
right.
why I took the time off this year. Cause I'm not, it's still new. So once 2021 hits, we'll know how things are. I would hope. And that's why I'm waiting it out.
Definitely. And so obviously you said that you're taking the rest of 2020 off. And so how have you been occupying your time? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, good question. So I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Go and Pokemon Sword and Shield. So if anyone's a huge Pokemon fan, holla. Yeah, I've been super, super addicted to Pokemon Go. I've been shiny hunting Pokemon. It's fun. And yeah, I've been raid battling. So that's been fun. And that's pretty much it. I mean, trust me. When I started playing Pokemon when I was 8 years old. So, like, if you told me at 8 that I would be 27 playing Pokemon all day and there's, like, a worldwide pandemic, so you feel like you have no job, I would be like, get out of here. Like, as a Pokemon fan, this is my dream, okay? I mean, I decided not to do wrestling, okay? Only because I didn't want to, like, not be in shape or not be in ring shape or
right.
not eat the right eating. You know, I didn't want to be selfish either in that aspect, so that's why I decided to take the time off. Because, you know, if I'm not in my best self, why would I go out there and perform? I mean,
right?
It just didn't make sense to me. But yeah, Pokemon has been my savior in this whole thing. So thank you, Pokemon. I love you.
That's awesome.
You can see only Pokemon in the back right here.
Nice.
I got a whole bunch of collection. You can see my Eeveelution here. Yeah.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So obviously, I've got to ask, what is the rarest Pokemon that you've captured in game? But also, which Pokemon is your favorite that you maybe have not run into in game yet?
Ooh. So since I was a kid, I played Ruby version. You know Pokemon, do you?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. So I played Ruby, like that was my baby. And so I actually, during Go Fest makeup day, I found 2 shiny Torchic. So one is my shiny Blaziken. So that's my baby. My Blaziken. I named him Blazy, and I just did some raids this week, and I got 2 shiny Zapdos, so that was pretty cool.
Nice.
But my favorite one, I don't even know. I mean, I got a shiny Pikachu, so he's pretty rare, right? So,
yeah.
Hey,
there you go.
I guess awesome. Pikachu.
Well, you know, when you're talking about, being a kid, did you, as a kid, think that you would like to do something like become a wrestler, or were you into, like, because I, as a kid, growing up in the 80s, for us it was wrestling, Transformers, G.I. Joe, Star Wars, and you know, the in-betweens, like He-Man and, you know, anything Thundercats that came out. What, and then superheroes, of course. So was that kind of the same thing for you growing up, that you found like these different things that kind of added up to like, hey, I'd like to be a real life superhero and be a wrestler?
Absolutely. So my childhood was pretty not good. My childhood wasn't very good, home wise, but, wrestling, I discovered wrestling from actually N64 game. It was the ECW game, and I'm not sure which one, but it was one of them. And I was watching, I was flipping through channels one night, and I saw wrestling on TV, and I'm like, wrestling is a real thing? Like, I thought it was just like, I didn't know what, you know, I never saw a wrestling show before, but I had the game, so I didn't know it was a real, like, life thing. I thought they were superhero type things, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I was like, wrestling is real? Like, real? and so, like, I was just addicted since, and when I watch the girls, I'd be like, I can do that. I want to do that. I can be that girl wrestler, so... Yeah, once I graduated high school, I was like, what the F am I doing with my life? Because, like, there was no jobs out there that really, like, really want to capture my attention, or, like, you know, I had, like, the passion for. But then, like, I was like, you know what? Why don't I just train to be a wrestler? So, like, I started going to the gym. I started, like looking up fitness and health and how to, like, eat right and gain muscle and this and that. So that kind of became, like, my obsession. I discovered wrestling shows, local indies. PWS was by me at the time, so I started going to those shows and networking, and boom, here I am. So yeah, I just kind of follow my passion that I didn't realize that I wanted to do until, like, I was in high school. I'm like, wow, I forgot I want to do this, so I decided to do it.
Is there one wrestler that sticks out to you from that time that was your go-to, like, your favorite?
Yes. I would say Undertaker, because he was badass. And, like, I don't know. I just always loved his matches, and I loved his vibe. Because when I started watching, he was a biker taker. I didn't see the dead man or whatever before that. So I kind of just saw that. So that was, like, awesome to me. I was like, wow, that is so freaking awesome. And, like... I don't know. I just liked his vibe and his style and the way he, like, just captured the crowd. Like, that was just awesome. And also Eddie Guerrero. He was just super awesome. I was a huge fan of them. I mean, I only had SmackDown because I didn't have cable, because I was, you know. But, yeah, I mean, SmackDown was all I needed. There were so many awesome people at the time that, like, you know, I didn't need Raw. I mean, I could have watched it, but I wanted to, but I had what I had. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it was SmackDown, and it was awesome, and I loved it.
That's really interesting perspective, because a lot of people that we talk to, you know, they'll mention Undertaker as being somebody that was, you know, fundamental in their fandom, but they reference the dead man Undertaker. But with you having that alternate perspective of your first impression of him being Biker Taker, and, you know, hit that clicking for you, I think that really, a lot of people like to shit can it. And I think that character arc that he underwent, I think that it worked for a lot of people and brought new eyes to the product. So it was just really fascinating for you to say that. As far as personalities in the business, how do you think that personalities and gimmicks and things of that nature are now compared to when you first developed your fandom for wrestling?
I really don't know. So can you explain that to me better?
Yeah, so
I'm from the line, so I'm kind of like,
sure. So, like, a lot of people have criticized, you know, today's product. And I'm not just talking about WWE or, you know, even AEW, but a lot of people insist that, you know, the gimmicks were better in the Attitude Era and even in the follow-up, you know, the Ruthless Aggression Era and stuff like that. And a lot of people like to shit can today's product. I personally, I think that that really doesn't hold too much water, but I'm just curious as to your opinion, being somebody that we've already established what kind of clicked for you and brought you in and established your fandom. How do you feel about that?
I mean, it's really teach their own. I mean, you're going to have old school heads that would be like, old school is better, you know, like, yeah, the good old days. And then you're going to have people who are growing up now who are going to be like, no, these days are awesome. Like, you know, old school was like, bleh, you know? I mean, it's really each their own. I mean, I don't know. I mean, someone out there, you know, is inspired by something. So whether that's someone from back in the day, they can be, you know, growing up now. And then they're like, wow, the back in the day was better. You know, it could be vice versa. I don't know. I mean, whatever inspires you. So just use that. I don't know why everyone has to shit talk everything. I mean, that's so stupid of me. I don't get it. Like, yeah. why is everything got to be like this or that? Why can't it just be like a middle ground? Why can't it just be like, I respect that, but, you know, I'm more into this. Or I respect, you know, this now and whatever. Like, I don't know. Like, why? People just are too aggressive with their opinions nowadays. So,
yeah.
I mean, I honestly stay away from all that shit. I kind of just like, I kind of just mind my business. And I'm just like, whatever. I'm going to, you know, this is what inspires me. So I'm going to stick to that. And that's going to be it. Like, people are just too noisy around, you know, these days. So,
what, when you're performing, what for you is being a face or being a heel, is something like that something that you really kind of have a choice of which you prefer? And are fans different to you in, you know, so if you're a heel, I guess what I'm trying to get at is being a female wrestler, even if you're a heel, do the fans still gravitate to you just because you're, you know, a female wrestler who's good looking? And like you said, you know, coming out to here in Vegas, everyone just, you know, decides to hit on you because everyone in Vegas is, I mean, I think, yeah,
pretty much.
I think I hit on Steve like 3 times this morning, so. And he just...
Yeah, Vegas vibe, I don't know.
But yeah,
I don't know what it is in the water.
But is there something to that where, you know, you enjoy one or the other, and then do fans react differently to you because you are a woman, as opposed to, you know, supposed to not like you because you're a heel?
Okay, so, like, in LFC, I was the black team, so I was the heel.
Right.
And I felt like the crowd was more behind me than Sybil, and she was the pink team, right?
Yeah.
But I think it depends on where you're at, and it depends on if the fans are familiar with you or not. Because right. I've been in places where I'm a heel and I get booed, but, like, I don't care what it is. If I'm a heel, I don't care if these people know me. I try to just, I give it to them. I try to be the biggest heel I can, and I try to do my job because my job is to be a heel, not to appease everyone. But, you know, there could be some people still behind me.
Sure.
Am I not going to not be the biggest heel? Of course I am, because that's my job. As a face, my job is to be a face. So I do feel like I get more people behind me, like at the merch table when I'm a face.
Sure.
But when I'm a heel, it depends. Like I said, it depends where I'm at and depends on the fan base, familiarity and all that stuff. But like I said, LFC, a lot of people were behind me, and I was surprised because Sybil, I mean, she got kind of sat on me the whole time. So,
right.
I mean, I think they wanted to see me kick her ass, and like, I kind of didn't get the chance because I was like, I couldn't breathe. So, yeah. I think it's all like, it depends where you're at. if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I think there's two things that I want to get to, because you just sparked two things in my brain with that. The first is, do you think, when it comes to merch, is it about your personality, or is it about the merch being cool? In terms of being able to, you know, because it's hard. Like, any one of us who are trying to promote ourselves, like, that's hard. That's not a natural thing you do in your life. Like, hey, could you buy this t-shirt? You know, but is it, you know, is that something that factors into your thinking about, you know, what you're going to do, what you're going to design, what you're going to sell, as opposed to just, you know, relying on, you know, hey, I'm a face. Faces usually do sell a little bit more merch, but, you know, heels who have really cool designs, that shit goes like that. So is that a factor, or is it, you know, is something you've never even thought about?
No, it's something I definitely think of. And, like, I think it depends where we're at, too, because, like, one time I was on a show and there was a blonde and we were in, like, I don't know, like, Maryland, Pennsylvania area. And they all bought her merch. And, like, I was just like, oh. And I think I was the heel. I can't remember, honestly. Like, I didn't get any sales. I think it depends where you're at, too. But, and it depends on, like, if they know me more. Because, obviously, this girl was more known than me.
Right.
She had more merch sold. I was like, nope, nothing. But, yeah, it gets brutal. But I do think it's personality. I do have a strong fan base, like, online. You know, if you promote yourself and you have that following, those people will support you no matter what.
Right.
So that's cool. And if I'm a heel, sometimes, you know, people will come up to be like, yo, you kicked ass, you know, like, I like you better or whatever, you know. So I don't know. It really depends on, I guess, personality is a factor, I think. Your in-ring work is a factor because they want to support you. In-ring work, it's not just about your looks, but it could be your looks too. Maybe they, like, think you're attractive or something and they'll want to buy something from you. That's a factor. I mean, there's factors. It really depends on the person. Like I said, to each their own, and it really depends on preference of that person. So, I mean, I don't even know, honestly. I'm still trying to figure it out, but yeah, it's there's a lot of factors in everything. Like you said, promoting yourself is weird. It's like, hey, I'm here, you know. So that's also another thing, is like how you promote yourself, I guess, how you come across.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's so many factors to it.
So in your downtime and your, you know, your, maybe even your training time, what kind of music are you into?
I've been more into metal lately. So I've been more into, like, my Parkway Drive type stuff.
Sure.
I really don't listen to, like, the what's popular anymore, honestly. I don't know. I like metal. I like when I work out and I feel, like, the intensity. It kind of pumps me up, like, a lot. Like, I can't listen to, like, I don't know, Ariana Grande and be like, oh, yeah, I'm getting my workout in. Like, no, like this. I need, like, that, like, screaming heavy shit. Like, I need that intensity. Like, I need to feel it, like, in my veins. Like, that's where I get the pump. So, yeah, it's all about the metal.
So no Taylor Swift while you're...
No, I'm not a fan. Honestly, like, nothing against the girl, but I'm not a fan of the music. Sorry. I'm not a Swiftie. It's not my style.
If you could get an acting role, what kind of movie or television show would you be perfect for?
I did not think of that. So now I gotta think about it, because I never thought about myself, like, actually being on a show, but I don't know. What do you guys think? Throw something at me and maybe I'll decline it or be like, yeah, sure. I want to hear what you think, because I actually didn't think about that yet.
I think a little... maybe Sons of Anarchy type, you know?
I did love that show. Yep, that's where I got Gemma from.
Yeah,
you didn't get that.
But you know, I also could see you doing, something like The Conners, which is, you know, a comedy, but it deals with real types of people, not just, you know, the goofy dad or the, you could be a waitress, a bartender working at this, you know, this small restaurant or bar in the Southern Illinois or Western Illinois or in Iowa or something like that, or even Jersey, of course. I mean, you know. But yeah, you have that natural grit, but a great personality to go with it that I think you would be pretty funny in a comedy.
Thank you. Actually, now I think about it, like, I love comedy. So if anything, like, since I worked in an office and my old job, like, had, like, weird things that, like, the office had, I loved the office, or something like Parks and Rec, like, yeah. Something that, like, where a weird job thing, I can, like, make it funny. I would love that. So yeah, definitely the office. Something serious, like you said, Sons of Anarchy. I would love to be one of those badass chicks. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely dig those opinions of what you think I should be in.
Let me ask you, as we kind of start to wrap up here, is there something that you're looking forward to in the future? You know, whether it be, you know, just getting back into the ring or expanding a character or, you know, or even something just in your personal life. Is there something that you're going, okay, 2020 has been shit. We all know that. Mm-hmm. But 2021, this is what's going to happen for me.
Right. So for 2021, I want to travel more and expand to more of the United States and maybe out of country for wrestling.
Sure.
That would be awesome because, I mean, like, time is ticking and, like, I want to get out there. I mean, I've been doing this for about, 6 years now? So I think, you know, the time is going to be just about right for me to get out there. And I would love to get back to LFC personally, just to get back out there and to fight, to get that Vegas experience that I've wanted.
Yeah.
Which would be cool, which I hope you guys show me the ropes.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Yes. And personally, I would love to get back into my corporate ways and, you know, work up the ladder. And personally, I love working outside of wrestling because, like, it's like you have your own identity outside of the business and you have your own resume and, you know, just having a skill that, like, other people don't have.
Sure.
It definitely helps you in the longevity of, you know, what if like something happens and you can't wrestle no more, then I have, you know, this. I already have about 6 years in what I did. So I do love having that, like, that office, that business type of work. So I would love to have something like that again. There's just so much. I mean, I would love to be a Pokemon master too. That's another big goal. I'm almost at level 40, so let's hit it on Pokemon Go.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm 37, so I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I hope you guys add me on Pokemon Go if you guys play. I mean, come on, let's be friends. Come on, right? let's do it. We can trade and stuff and battle. yeah, there's just so much I love to do. I mean, you know, try more wines. You know, go sure. to wineries. The possibilities are endless. I mean, what else would I want to do? I don't know, go on vacation, go somewhere nice and just relax.
These are
goals right now.
No, you know what? And I think that you just gave a really good perspective that a lot of people who are, whether it be wrestling, MMA, even sports, don't necessarily think about. And that is, you tear your ACL, you might come back, you know, and be able to do it again, but you're going to be pretty much needing to do something for the next, you know, 6 months to a year, you know. And that's a very interesting perspective is, you know, you actually enjoy building up that other side of you that has a different persona, different identity, that's not reliant on the being the performer, but actual your performance as a employee. And that's, I think, admirable. I also think you could have probably given Aubrey Plaza a run in Parks and Rec. You know, the goth-looking, you know, black hair. Yeah, yeah, right?
I know.
You know, East Coaster and all that good stuff.
Yep, Delaware, right?
Yeah, exactly. When things settle down and this gets passed, this is the final question. Do you see yourself trying to get together some reels and trying to get with, you know, a company like MLW or even, you know, you're talking Vegas experience. You know, we could have Joe DeFalco give you a look and get you into FSW for a little bit.
Yeah, FCW or FSW, right?
Yeah, FSW. Yeah,
I was there one time. We did customs there, and it was a very lovely place. It was right in Paradise, and I have pictures on Instagram to prove it. Yeah, it was lovely out there. Man, that Vegas heat, whew, that is not like the East Coast. It's so different.
Yeah, but you don't have the humidity, though.
Yeah, but it just feels so different. Like, I was, like, dying. I was, like, so dehydrated. I was like, wow.
That's yeah.
So now I know next time to stay really, really hydrated and come back out there.
It
was just like a shock. I never been out there before. That was my first time. Like, wow. That was my first time being out there.
It's a paradox too, because it's funny. Yeah. You have to stay hydrated, but at the same time, we're like the, you know, biggest drinking per capita. You know.
I don't know how you guys do it. I was like, yo, I don't know how these people drink. Like, how do you drink out here? I was dying. Like, I could not believe. I'm like, I could barely have a sip of beer. Like, I was so dehydrated. And I'm like, man. Like, out here, at least, like, you get the humidity, so like, you get moisture in the air, but there's none. I'm like, it was a shock for me. Because, like I said, I wasn't used to it. But, yeah, it definitely hit different.
Well,
now I know for next time.
Yes.
Well, on that note, we're going to just wrap up for now, but we definitely would love to have you back and, you know, especially getting into 2021 and, you know, as things kind of, you start getting some bookings and stuff, you know, we can let everyone know about that. Where can people follow you on social media?
Yeah, so people can follow me on Instagram at the Gemma Giuliana, and that's with a G. Giuliana, so people aren't confused. And so Twitter is at Gemma Giuliana. There's no the. And Facebook, I have a fan page, is just Gemma Giuliana. So, hey, follow me. Join me on the journey. I'm kind of dormant right now, but I'll be posting things here to there. So, I mean, if you want to come say hi. But I'll see you guys really, really soon, I hope, because, you know, I'm having like cabin Jersey fever. I want to get out. I want to go to explore. I want to go to places. So let's take care of this stupid virus and let's get to it, because I am getting ready for it.
Awesome. Everyone, thank you for listening. Gemma, thank you for being with us. And I encourage everyone, please, you know, follow her. Support her. If you go to a show she's on, please be that person who buys a shirt or, you know, something. Please support her in any way possible. And please listen and share and subscribe and all that good stuff that comes along with everything that we do here at the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. And thank you very much, everyone. Till later. We are out of here. Bad Boys of Podcasting.